Welcome, Impactful Parents. It's time for the Impactful Parenting Podcast, where I give you parenting tips and resources to make you a more impactful parent to your school-aged child. I am your host, Christina Campos. Welcome, Impactful Parents. Today, we're going to talk about positive impacts of gardening with your kids. And today, I have special guest Laura Koval. And Laura is a master gardener and owner of Able Veg, a company that helps people create and maintain their backyard gardens. Not only that, but Laura happens to be a mom of two boys, ages 4 and 5. Thank you so much for being on today, Laura.
Thank you for having me, Christina. This is really fun.
I'm excited to learn about this because I've always wanted to have a green thumb. And I'll tell you right now, I am horrible. I can't keep anything alive. But I really, really believe in growing your own food and that connection that I know plants can do for your kids. It's so beneficial. So tell me exactly, what does your business do?
So we set out on this business to help people just like you who either want to get a garden started and they don't really know where to start. They haven't really figured out, you know, a good starting point, or they just feel completely overwhelmed by the idea. We also help people who have tried starting a garden where they've been gardening for a few years and feel like they're not getting enough bang for their buck. They feel like that they should be increasing their productivity and they should be getting more from it. So our goal is to get people set up with products. And then we also do private consultations. So we get to know our clients and we get to know their gardens. So as problems come up and questions come up, you're never gardening alone.
That's awesome. Now, this is going to have so much benefit to families, but why do you think gardening is such a great activity to do with your kids?
Right. Well, so we adopted our two kids about a year and a half ago. They've been with us a little over 2 years from the foster care system. And I've been a lifelong gardener. So for me, I grew up playing in the dirt with my parents and learning all about plants and how to grow them. When our kids came to us, they had been on primarily a fast food diet for their early years. And as we all know, with kids, getting them to eat healthfully is challenging enough, especially when they're going through picky eating phases. But it really hit home for me that these kids had never really eaten vegetables. So they didn't really naturally like them. And I think it's important to give them kind of that bridge and bridge that nutritional gap. And really for people in general right now, I think when we went through COVID, we all realized that our food system's not perfect. And, you know, kind of the value of having that backyard garden and that space to be with your family and start living a healthier lifestyle.
Now, like I said, I'm horrible at keeping anything except for my children alive. So are you really sure that gardening, especially for people like me, is going to be a good idea?
Well, I'm really glad you've been successful at keeping your kids alive. That's a great starting point for all of us. It is. It really is. I think what tends to happen is people who have not been like me, who have not grown up in a garden and not had experience and learned lessons about plants, is you get excited, you put things in the ground, and then they start dying. And then it's just frustrating. It just feels bad. And then you develop kind of these negative feelings and think it's my fault and I shouldn't be doing this. And it's clearly something that I can't do. Everybody can do it. And there's ways to tailor your space and tailor your garden. And we'll talk about that during the presentation a little bit to get started in a place where you can set yourself up for success.
Awesome. You have a presentation for us. That sounds perfect. Let's go ahead and get to that. What do you have to say?
So family gardening. Family is such a great aspect of the gardening process because it's been something that people for generations now have done as a family. And it started off, of course, as being something that was a necessity. I know my grandparents grew up, or my grandmother, I should say, grew up on a self-sustaining farm. And so that's what they did. But we're seeing now as more people start getting into this with their family, there's so many more impacts than just getting produce out of your garden. And so this is a picture of our garden, which keeps expanding and expanding. And I put this picture in here because we have raised beds. That's what we sell. And I love them. It's one of the things, Christina, that if you're used to just killing things, sometimes having your soil in the ground, it's not ideal. And a raised bed or a container is a great place to start.
And I have a question for you about that. How big do you need of a space to have something like that?
You need a small, you can do container gardening. I have a couple pictures of those in here. You can start as small as you want. Our beds are 3 feet by 6 feet, and one or two of those is an excellent place to start because you can get enough stuff in there that you feel like you're constantly getting something new that's growing or being harvested, but you can definitely start small. All right. So this next section is how gardening benefits parents. And so we think of it in the terms and the context of our families, of course, for this presentation. But I think if you don't have a happy, thriving parent, it's really hard to have a happy, thriving family. And so for the adults that I help, one of the biggest things is it's low impact exercise that gets you out, gets you doing activity, even if you might not want to be outside on days when it's hot or if you're getting rain, you need to be out there checking it. So it gets you moving, gets your steps in. It also helps combat loneliness. And I put this in here because after this last year with COVID, a lot of us have really felt the implications of not being with friends, not being with family, of being kind of stuck in our own space more. And being out in your garden helps combat those feelings of being kind of alone in the world and is really beneficial. There's lots of documentation on the mood boosting benefits for adults who spend time in gardens. It's considered to be something that can reduce your stress. And that even goes into things like cardiovascular health. People who are actively gardening see benefits in their entire body. It decreases the risk of dementia. There's lots of studies that are now connecting these things. So overall for a parent, it's a great activity to get you out and get you moving and to create kind of a safe, happy space for yourself. So that when you're out there, you're just seeing things that are growing, things that are thriving. And it's huge. It's hugely beneficial for people. There's a really cool book called The Blue Zones, and you might have heard of this, but the guy who wrote this book actually found these areas on the planet, I believe there's six of them, where people live to be 100 years and older, exponentially higher rates than the rest of the world. And gardening is one of the things that he recommends because of all of these added health benefits. And then moving into the benefits for your whole family. So the first one is this is basically an all ages activity. You can take your little one out from the time they're born, have them feel the sun on their face, all the way up through teenagers that can enjoy being out there and growing their own food. Big one right now is it gets people away from screens. And especially if you've been stuck at home with your kids this last year, TV and technology has kind of become our babysitters in a way. So this is a great opportunity to stop that, everyone at the same time or at different times, to get them outside. It also drastically increases the amount of vegetables that your family eats. Or if you're in a region or decide you want to grow fruit, it's going to give you the same benefits. This has been hugely helpful for our little ones because when they see it grow on the vine, they're way more excited to eat it on the table. It also gets kids outdoors and in the dirt. When our grandparents were alive, they were dirty all the time. Like you went outside and you played in fields and you played in streams. And some of that has been kind of removed as we move to technology. And it's so great to have kids get out there and get messy and kind of learn all of the activities that you can do when you're out playing in the dirt. It creates routines. And with kids out of the foster system or some kids who are either have difficulty concentrating or just have trouble getting on a schedule, getting on a clock, gardening can be huge because it'll help you. You've got to go out there every day. You have to check certain things and do certain things. And I think if you're a parent, we've all seen if our kids' routines get disrupted, how impactful that is. So this is another great way to kind of keep them on a schedule. Also gives kids a sense of responsibility. My little ones love watering the garden. And usually when they're watering the garden, it means they're like filling up buckets and flooding out plants. But they want to help. They want to be helpful in the process. They get really excited to be out there. They want to help plant seeds. And it gives them some autonomy in the family. It makes them feel like they're being helpful. It also enhances fine motor development, which I kind of chuckle because my youngest is the clumsiest little being on the planet. And of course, he's four. He's a toddler. But it helps them learning to place those little seeds, learning to use a garden trowel. All of those things help with that motor development and that sensory portion. It's also real-time lessons in science and math. We talk a lot now about the importance of STEM learning with children, and this is a real-life, day-to-day, timed lesson in how a lot of the chemistry and the math takes place out there. And the last one, and I think is so important, is it engages all five senses for kids. So they're out there, especially if you have someone, a child that maybe has some sensory issues, which is, you know, coming to be more common now for a lot of kids, it engages them enough that it gives them some focus. So it's not just, again, sitting at a screen or wanting to stare at TV and at the same time play a video game on their phone. It's getting them out there and kind of enriching all of those senses for them.
There is definitely something special about touching nature. Like even just walking barefoot, there's something special about connecting with the earth. And it really does make a difference in our children. I've seen it firsthand. So this is super exciting to me.
Yeah. And it's so important too. Again, we have kind of moved to an age of technology and there's lots of benefits to that. But we all are noticing too, that there's some very severe side effects from doing that. And you're absolutely right. Getting outside is almost an immediate mood booster for anyone in your family. And so now we're moving on to container gardens, which Christina is a great place to start if you've never done this before. These are called grow bags and they're these actual bags. They almost are made of a felt-like material, but you can also do flower pots, any containers that you have around. Container gardening is a great way to get started with your family because it's easy and it fits anywhere. You just find whatever little spot of sun that you have in your yard, you put your container there and you can watch things grow. And this is one that one of my clients actually put together. It's so fun. But again, like it looks beautiful. It's fun. It gets kids out there digging and you can grow so much stuff in just these containers. And these are, so this was when we first set up some of our beds for our raised bed gardens. These are the ones that we sell though too. And this is another great easy one for families because you just fill it up and you can get started. So I think the idea behind some of these pictures is if you do an in the ground garden, it can be kind of challenging and you might be digging up sod and stuck with soil that's not great. But container gardening is a really user-friendly way to get a garden started. And this one, so this picture I love, not just because it's a lovely picture of our beds, but I had a client and I included this who has a little boy he's on the autism spectrum and he like lost his mind. He was so excited about this garden and he helped me plant seeds in it. And then he got in there and was literally trying to like swim through the dirt. He was so excited to experience this garden. And he still, she finally has just made it his little play area. She gives him seeds and she lets him water it because it's become really meaningful for him. And so then if you have your little container or whatever, the easiest way to start is find an online resource. This one is from the Farmer's Almanac. It'll let you put in, here we have Tulsa, that's where I am from, but it'll let you put in your city. And it gives you exact dates of what will grow and when to put it in the ground. So it's an easy guide. So you're not just putting some guesswork into when you're going to plant things like peppers or tomatoes. It'll let you know. Definitely a great tool for beginners.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. And then these are seeds that you can direct sow, meaning you just get your package of seeds and they're really easy to put in the ground. I really encourage parents to get direct sow seeds because you really see the whole process from start to finish. Radishes, if you put those in the ground, will actually leaf out within a few days and you can harvest some of them in 30 days. So it's a really quick turnaround time, which can be really engaging for kids. But watching that life cycle of going from seed to a full plant is huge. And these are also nice and easy too, right? You don't have to worry about trying to figure out what varieties to get from the store. You just take your little seed packet, go home, your kids can help plant them. And then the nice thing too, is when you buy seeds, you're going to get package directions of exactly how to put them in, how far apart to grow them. And so these are a great, great thing to start with for little kids. Plus, I don't know what it is, but they just like having little seeds in their hand and kind of playing with them. It's really fun for little ones.
I noticed that you have beans on that list. Do you recommend a different, a particular type of bean?
So there's two general categories of beans for home growers. One is called a bush bean, which means it's a little, depending on the variety, about maybe an 8-inch tall plant, and the beans grow off of that plant. The other variety are called pole beans, and pole beans will climb, which is kind of fun. Especially younger kids really like that, and it's a great way to conserve space in the garden. My favorite one to grow is probably dragon tongue beans. They are a bush bean and they are this fun kind of purple and yellow color. So kids love to pick them. They're more fun to grow. And beans are a pretty darn easy thing to grow. They'll do great in your containers and they'll also do great in an in-the-ground garden too. So they're lots of fun. So this next slide talks about purchasing transplants, which are basically if you go to a garden center and they have a little plant that's already growing, you can just come home and put in your garden and transplant into your garden. These are nice because you can get a head start on fruit or vegetable production since you're not starting from seed. So especially the seeds that are not on that previous list, if you're wanting to grow, say, cauliflower or tomatoes that take a little bit longer, these transplants will kind of provide a head start for you. Most of the plants are also already what's called hardened off. And all this means is when we start seeds, I grow some of my own plants indoors too, or if it's a commercial greenhouse where they're getting these transplants ready to go, you want to harden them off gradually, meaning bring them outside and expose them to elements for a little while, because otherwise the plant has focused so much on being in this little spa-like environment inside in a greenhouse where they're not experiencing wind or any kind of hard rains or anything. So this will actually bulk up their system so that they'll have sturdier stems. They'll hold up to cool weather better. So this is a great thing if you're purchasing transplants, especially if something like a tomato that takes a while to grow, but you save another week in having to cart that little guy inside and back outside. Some plants are also difficult to start, or what's called grafted onto better rootstock. So this is so cool. I'm going to get like plant nerd out here, but some types of tomatoes are an excellent, they're an excellent thing to grow in the home garden, but they're also really good at getting certain diseases. And so what we found is that you can take the root system of a plant that, for whatever reason, a tomato plant that does better standing up to disease, and you can basically splice the shoot system, everything above ground, onto that stalk. And that means you'll still get the fruiting characteristics of the plant that was above ground, but with a hardier root system underneath. So you'll get more of a hardy plant. So if you're looking at your tomato package and you're thinking, gosh, it says to start inside and I don't have a grow light and that seems like way too much work, lots of reasons to purchase transplants. And there's no real need to invest in grow lights or other seed starting equipment, especially if you're just getting started. And especially if you're getting mostly direct sow seeds or wanting to buy transplants, you could just get these guys and supplement and put them right in the ground. And so this is a list of the good options for transplants. These are mostly things that I generally will start indoors and move out. So it takes a little more time and work. So anything that's early, if you have a cool season where you're living, so broccoli and cabbage, cauliflower, lettuces are great too, because then you're basically harvesting lettuce right away. And then summer crops are going to be more of your herbs and tomatoes. And certainly things like pumpkins and watermelon, you can get an extra couple days or weeks on them. But most vegetables can be started from seed. So, you know, just experiment, especially little kids are naturally really curious. Kids want to see things grow and change. So make it a fun project. Make it something, make a list of what you're going to buy from the store and what your kids want to grow. And then the next step is just making a little plan for your space. So this is just a little hand-drawn example of a garden. You'll notice that directions northeast, southwest are marked on there. And it's a really great way then to look at your little seed packet, look at your transplant from the store and say, okay, well, this tomato says it needs 36 inches of space. So, you know, get out your graph paper, let your kids help you fill it in, let them pick the plants they want most, and then start your list with things that you definitely want to grow at the top. And then add some things if you have extra space that you can move into the extra little areas. But I really encourage this part of the process, one, because it helps you kind of wrap your mind around exactly what you can fit. Even pro gardeners like me who have done this all their lives, you get really excited in the spring and you buy like 50 more plants than you need, and then you have all these plants. But this is also an excellent opportunity for little kids to have, or teenagers too, to get to pick exactly what they want to put their in their garden, what they want to grow, and have some input on there.
I love that you get excited and you buy too much. I do that with shoes. Yes, I can completely see that happening. I also want to mention to parents who are listening today, don't forget that about our grandparents out there. This would be a fantastic opportunity to connect grandparents with some of your kids, especially for teenagers, you know, where the teenagers kind of fall off sometimes with their relationship with their grandparents as they get older, because the grandparents don't know how to relate to the teen anymore. And when they have something like this to center their relationship around, something that they just get together and literally grow and cultivate, it could be really, really impactful to the entire family. But the grandparents would love it if you have somebody who's willing to get out there and get their hands dirty.
Absolutely. And it's a great way too, because grandparents sometimes don't have the mobility that they once had. And so them being able to kind of, you know, timeshare the kneeling and the reaching and everything with members of the family can be a really fun experience for everyone. It makes it less stressful and more enjoyable.
And the grandparents are from another generation where there was a lot of gardening happening. They probably have a knowledge about this subject that the teens do not, and could contribute to some education with the teen. It's just a great idea. I love it.
It is. And that's one of the reasons I'm so passionate about it, because everyone can get involved. It's just such a great family activity where everyone can take a little piece of it individually, or you can all get out there together. So it's just kind of around the style of your family unit, basically. And I threw this last little slide in here. We do diagrams, custom diagrams for our clients, but I think these are really fun to do as a family project. And all you have to do is print out a sheet of graph paper, print out pictures of different vegetables you want to put in there, and then have your kids slide them around and do the math, have them figure out how to space things, have them figure out where they want to plant things, and use kind of some critical thinking skills. It's much more fun with kids to have the visual tool and to just be able to move things themselves. Awesome, awesome project. That's all I have for you, Christina. What other questions can I answer for you?
Well, I'd like to know what kind of impact you've had on some of the families that you've worked with before.
That's one of the things that has been so wholly rewarding for me. And even in the last week, I had one family that I worked with last year, and they had kind of a rough go at it. COVID affected their family. They lost relatives. They suffered a lot of loss. And it was on top of the pandemic happening, and their child, who is an 11-year-old, really had a tough year. And he had a school project, apparently, doing a few paragraph essay about their life for the last year. And his mom told me that she actually teared up because it was just so sad. His whole year had been so sad for him. But at the end, she said he dedicated this whole long paragraph to how much he loved his garden and everything he grew and how happy it made him and how successful it was. So it was like this bright spot for him. And I think that that's so powerful, giving kids the opportunity to do something like this and to feel that sense of accomplishment is just huge. I got a hug from a kid yesterday who he's on the spectrum as well. And he, for whatever reason, his mom said, has just like really connected with plants and the science behind it. And I, you know, handed off their seeds to them. They got some beds. I handed them off, and he came and gave me the biggest hug. He was just so excited. And like, it just does my heart so proud, because giving the gift of family time to someone is, in my opinion, one of the best gifts that you can give to somebody.
It's wonderful. I what you're doing is so impactful, which is why you're here on The Impactful Parent. So I appreciate you so much. And being an impactful parent, as you are, how has this affected your own children?
Well, I'm proud to say my children now eat cherry tomatoes unprompted. The first time we went to, it was a birthday party of all things too. And there was like pizza, and there was, you know, popcorn and cake and all this other stuff. And when both of my kids went in for the cherry tomatoes, I was just like, I stood there in shock for a minute. But they love those. They love the peas that we've grown. They're even really trying hard to like the lettuce right now. But
you know, they're trying really hard.
He's doing his best, man. The poor little guy is just not quite there yet. But I've seen that change in them. I've seen them want to check out the plants. I've seen them get excited, especially when I have things in my greenhouse and it's still cold and wintry outside, where my four-year-old will be like, oh my gosh, everything's so much bigger. They grew. It got larger. And so being able to kind of connect with plants in that way has drastically changed their diets. And as a mom, I'm going to be the first person to admit, I'm not the mom who's really crafty. I'm not the mom who's really good at fantasy play. But one of the things that I can give my kids is I am the mom who can take them outside and show them the wonders of nature in the world. And that has done great work for me, because we've been able to spend quality time together that I just don't connect with as much if they just want me to play with action figures with them. And so it's another great venue to be able to form those connections and relationships.
there's so much that you can offer my audience. I appreciate you being here. And I know that there's going to be people who resonate with what you're selling, how you can help them. So how can they find you?
They can find us via our website at ableveg.com, ableveg.com. We're also on Facebook. You can find us on Facebook and on Instagram. And reach out anytime. We're happy to answer questions. We're happy to help get you started. We offer free 10-minute consultations. So even if you just have like that one question of like, why do I keep killing my squash? We're happy to do that for you for free. We just want you to get started and having your family garden and start that legacy with your kids.
Thank you for being on today, Laura. I really appreciate what you're doing. And parents, if you go and find her, tell her that Christina sent you, that you came from the Impactful Parent. And I'm just happy to have you here. So until next time, you got this, parents. We're just here to help. Thank you for listening today. Remember to subscribe and share this podcast with a friend. And don't forget, the Impactful Parenting Podcast is an extension of the Impactful Parent community. So go to the Impactful Parent website and sign up for a 30-day challenge. Browse the free resources or register for the weekly newsletter so that you don't miss a parenting tip that can help you and your family. Thanks for listening today and go to theimpactfulparent.com. See you next episode.